and Tomlin takes it the distance. 99 yards. Oh! James Bucknight! Back out to Allen. His three-pointer.
Thompson loads it up. Scores! Number 5 for James Thompson.
Grand slam! George Springer.
Tarasi the pull-up. It's good! And the foul!
Walker down the lane. Drive, shoots, scores!
Hello, everybody, and welcome into another edition of the Huskies and the Pros podcast. Today, it is Monday, January 22nd, 2024, and you are listening to the 20th edition of this podcast. As always, I'm Brian Dostler. Hope everybody has been staying warm, continues to stay warm, as we're in those cold, bitter months here up in the Northeast, up in Connecticut. Please make sure you're retweeting, liking. Feel free to comment. Let me know how I'm doing, please. I am always begging for feedback, and anyone that has any thoughts, please feel free to DM me, to however you want to tell me. Would really appreciate that. Trying to make this the best show that I can. I think this, it's just a unique page, and I can go more in depth here on the podcast, so please let me know how I can do this better. And as always, we have a jam-packed show today, a lot to discuss. James Bucknight, I've heard him in trade discussions. The trade deadline is next month. It's February 8th, that Thursday, so we're just a few weeks away. I've been hearing his name thrown around in some trades, so we'll get to that. Despite a key Bucks player returning, Andre Jackson continues to get meaningful minutes, but we are going to start, kind of like how all podcasts have are recently, with Jordan Hawkins. But for this week, we're focusing on the minutes that he's been getting, and folks, the minutes he's been getting have been real. Since he played two garbage time minutes back on Friday, January 12th, in those four games since, he has started and played 37 minutes. That was against the Mavericks. We all know he had a career high 34 points in that one and just absolutely balled out when there was four of the five normal starters for the Pelicans that were missing. He was one of the guys that stepped up in a big way for the Pelicans off the bench. And then in the last three games, the three games this week for the Pelicans, he came off the bench and played 21 minutes, 24 minutes, and 17 minutes. And how do I know, and I'm fully confident in saying that these minutes are real? It's because he checked into the first quarter in all three of these games. In prior games, he's racked up DNPs. He's racked up 2 minutes of garbage time like he did on January 12th. Or maybe 8 minutes of garbage time, whatever it is. Willie Green and the coaching staff is starting to pave a rotation with Hawkins in this lineup. At Dallas, the game after he scored that career-high 34 points, he was the third player off the bench for the Pelicans. He checked in with 5:34 to go in the first quarter, and he played 21 minutes that game, scored 9 points, 21 minutes. Next game, first the Hornets. Once again, the third player off the bench. He checked in with 3:47 to go in the first quarter. And he scored 21 points in that game. And then most recently, this past Friday, he was the third player off the bench against the Suns. And he checked in with 3 minutes and 56 seconds left in the first quarter. And he scored 13 points in 17 minutes in that one. So three games, that's a pretty good sample size. That is UConn Twitter, Pelicans Twitter, but especially UConn Twitter, since we're really mainly focused on Hawkins. We've been calling for Willie Green and just been extremely angry with Hawkins' playing time. We're seeing right here in real time that he is getting these minutes. These are not garbage time minutes. These are meaningful minutes. He's getting a crack in the first quarter. Very, very good sign. I've been saying this. It's impossible to keep a guy that can shoot this well like Jordan Hawkins on your bench for too long. I've also said this team is very deep. And I know the Pelicans aren't a team that everyone maybe recognizes as a great team, because recently they haven't been. They have not been great. But with a healthy Zion, with a healthy Brandon Ingram, they are a very good basketball team. And right now they're sitting as the 5 seed. They're 25-18. This is a team that's absolutely going to be an NBA Finals contender. We'll see how their experience plays out with that. But this is a team that can do some damage in the postseason, and they are legit. Trey Murphy, he's the first guy off the bench for the Pelicans, followed by Dyson Daniels. Then it's Hawk, and then it's Larry Nance Jr. So it's a 9-man rotation that Willie Green is going. Again, these are all minutes. First quarter minutes are all with starters back for the Pelicans. They've all been playing these games. So it's time that we start recognizing this and see the improvement that Hawkins has gotten. It's in, like, he scored 34 points. This is a kid that scored 31 against the Nuggets earlier this year. He's scored 13 points in 6 minutes in a game. Like, the kid can score. We know that. And Willie Green also knows that. This is why when people are saying on Twitter, the Pelicans or I hope the Pelicans trade Hawkins, that's not going to happen. They know how good of a player this kid is. They want him to be around for many, many years, and he's carving out playing time. And that's what's happening right now. And it's also time for Husky fans, and quite frankly, just NBA fans and basketball fans in general, is that there's a new Splash Brothers in the NBA. Now, we'll get to possible nicknames in a second, but those two players are Trey Murphy and Jordan Hawkins. These guys, as I mentioned, Murphy's the first guy that comes off the bench. He's a little bit longer, can do a little bit more defensively than Hawkins at this point. They're both extremely young. Hawk, obviously, 14th overall pick last year. He's just 21 years old. Murphy, 17th overall pick a couple of years ago out of Virginia. He's 23 years old. Just looking at their numbers, Murphy shooting 38.5% from three on nearly 7 attempts a game, and Hawkins shooting at 39.5% from three on nearly 6 attempts. So obviously these are players that are shooting multiple threes a game. And against the Hornets, in which the Pelicans hit a franchise record 25 three-pointers, Murphy and Hawkins combined for 11 of those three-pointers, all off the bench. Hawkins hit 6, Murphy hit 5. These are two players that the Pelicans are going to want to keep around for a very, very long time, because they can shoot the lights out of the basketball. The game is obviously three-point shooting these days. And after that Hornets game, Hawk was asked, what's it like to play alongside a teammate, a player that can shoot the lights out, similar to you with Trey Murphy? Let's take a listen to what Hawk has to say.
I mean, it's really fun out there. I'll be honest with you, I don't think I've played with a guy that can shoot the ball like that. I mean, arguably, to shoot the ball better than me and, like, ever in my life, to be honest with you. So, it's really cool, really fun to play out there. I'm definitely looking for him when I'm driving, and I know he's looking for me. And when we're out there, it is really fun out there. So,
a little hurtful as a UConn fan that it's not Joey Calcaterra, but I digress. It's obviously a good thing for the Pelicans to have guys like this that can spread the floor, whether they're on the floor at the same time or not, just to have a guy that can be a knockdown shooter like this. And Trey Murphy only had good things to say about Hawk. He said this last week.
He was way ahead of me in my rookie year. And just seeing him out there, just listening and being a good teammate, shooting the ball at a high level, beautiful to see. You know, just many more threes to come in the future.
At some point, these two need a nickname. I will say there was some just inklings on Twitter that this is the next duo of a Steph and Clay type. I was looking at overall just how many three-pointers guys have made and where these guys rank. And despite all the struggles from the Warriors this year, Curry's still number one by a lot. And Clay's like in the top five. So I'm not ready to say like this isn't like they're coming in and, you know, replacing the Splash Brothers. But let's think of some nicknames for this. Like it's still early on, right? Like they need to make some playoff runs, maybe win an NBA championship. But like let's give them a bit of a head start maybe. And if you have any nicknames, certainly throw them out there when you comment on this podcast, but I got four that I came up with. The first one, the Big Easy Bros. New Orleans is the Big Easy. That was the Big Easy. The Nolans Bros. Little slang there. The Nola Bros, which I'm kind of iffy about. And the Marty Three Party. It's a little bit different there. I think Big Easy is probably my favorite, followed by the Marty Three Party. A little bit more harder to say, but why not? Let's start brainstorming here. Let's think of something here. And one day, I do think this is a duo that could really take the league by storm. And you know, assuming the Pelicans can make deep playoff runs, it's going to be because of these two players with the help of their 3-point shooting off the bench, or if they had to fill in as a starter, they both are more than capable of doing that. So again, the Big Easy Bros, the Nolans Bros, the Nola Bros, and the Marty Three Party. If you have any nicknames that you want shout out, or if you like one of these, please let me know in the comments. It was interesting coming up with those nicknames, but here we are. As for this week, the Pelicans, they host the Jazz tonight, Monday night, in the third game of their four-game homestand. Giddy up for this one, folks. This upcoming Saturday, on the 27th, we got the Pelicans at the Bucks, which, of course, and unfortunately, it sucks that this is not a nationally televised game. These are two teams that could vary, that are national televised worthy with the star power that they have, but unfortunately, it's not. But it's the first time that Hawk and Andre are going to face each other in the pros. They didn't even play each other in the summer league, so this is truly the first time we're going to see them. There's a very good chance that they're going to be defending each other, and that's going to be a lot of fun to watch. It's going to be hard for me to follow it that night. I'm going to try my best, but that's just really cool. So the first of many, many times that these two will face off, and the kicker to this is the Pelicans are in Boston on Monday, January 29th. Sure, it's like a 7 o'clock game. So if anyone's interested, keep following my page for the rest of the week to see the kind of minutes that Hawkins is getting. But if you're in the Boston area, or if you want to make up the trip up to Boston and see Hawkins play in at the TD Garden, just throwing it out there. If he doesn't play, don't blame me, but I'm just telling you, this is also why I ended the segment with saying that Hawkins is playing in Boston, is because his minutes are real. The last three games, he has been getting first quarter minutes, and that's obviously a sign that he's in the rotation. We'll see. There's going to be the game on, I believe they play Monday. I didn't write down their mid game of the week, but it's either Wednesday or Thursday, and then they play the Bucks on Saturday. So you're going to get six games where you're able to tell of how his minutes fall. Just something to throw out there. It could be fun to go see Hawkins play in person at the Garden. So just wanted to throw that out there. And speaking of good minutes, Andre Jackson continues to get solid minutes despite Jay Crowder returning. As the former Marquette star returned to action this past week after missing just over 2 months with a groin injury. And Crowder, small forward, shooting guard, plays the same position as Jackson does. So the fact that Andre is still getting solid minutes in the two games that Crowder played this past week and his first two games in over 2 months, Andre played 23 minutes against the Cavs and 15 minutes this past Saturday against the Pistons. So now Crowder is still working his way back. He's played 19 minutes and 14 minutes in those two games. Before his injury, he was averaging 26.8 minutes a game in the eight games before he got hurt. Again, in those two games, he's averaging 16.5. So he still has about 10 more minutes, roughly. I mean, we'll see, to get back to. But this is something I'll be continuing to monitor this week. Something also to know with Andre is that in that game where he played 23 minutes against the Cavs, that was his eighth start of the season. And what's unique about it is he has started in the place of four different starters for the Bucks. As the starting five for the Bucks are as follows: Damian Lillard, Malik Beasley, Chris Middleton, Giannis, and Brooke Lopez. Brooke Lopez is the only player that's played and started in all 42 games, I believe, the Bucks have played so far. So, but Andre has started for Damian Lillard. He has started for Malik Beasley. He has started for Chris Middleton. And this past Saturday, he started for Giannis. That obviously goes to show how versatile that he is. I don't need to tell you that this is extremely rare for a rookie to be, and really it's hard for anyone, but to fill in these types of different positions and these players have different roles. Like obviously Malik Beasley, his main role is just to shoot three-pointers. Damian Lillard, point guard scorer, but also direct the offense. Chris Middleton being on the wing, Giannis obviously doing what Giannis does, very different roles. But Adrian Griffin and staff are trusting Jackson to slide in that starting role and give them quality minutes. And in those two games this past week, against the Cavs, 6 points, 8 rebounds, 3 for 4 from the field. And then against the Pistons in 15 minutes, 2 points, only took one shot, and 7 rebounds. He had his first career double-double a couple weeks ago. You're starting to see Andre really figure out his role, and he's playing well. And Andre leads the bench, quote-unquote, bench players with the 8 starts, and it's not really close with the others. You look at the breakdown, Jay Crowder, he's got 2 starts before he got hurt. Cameron Payne, only 2 starts. Marjon Beauchamp, 1 start. Bobby Portis, who's been the guy in Milwaukee, no starts this season, and he's made 88 starts with the Bucks. He's never been a regular starter from Milwaukee, but he's made 88 starts for the Bucks, and this is his 4th year in Milwaukee. But they're still throwing out Andre out there into the starting lineup. So again, just another sign. I feel like I keep saying this. It's just another sign of each week of the coaching staff trusting Andre, but that was really telling. I saw that thanks to Bucks Breakdown, Bucks Films Room for just saying that he's started for all these guys, because that's certainly impressive, shows the versatility. And I've been seeing some Deonte Murray mock trades and rumors that the Bucks are apparently interested. Haven't seen Andre's name anywhere. Have not seen his name anywhere. They love what he does. Obviously, he can grow. And if he could become an even better shooter in the offseason, you know, we'll see. But they're really liking what they're getting out of Andre Jackson, as they should be, because he's playing really well. The Bucks, they're at Detroit again tonight. Then back-to-back home games versus Cleveland before hosting Hawkins and the Pelicans this upcoming Saturday night. That's going to be really, really cool. Again, I'm going to try to follow as best I can. I'm going to be on a little vacation, so I can't guarantee I'm going to be as up-to-date with that stuff, but pretty cool that we're going to see those guys play each other for the first time. And speaking of possible trades, James Bouknight, I saw a clip from the Bill Simmons podcast this past week, and Terry Rozier, that's a name that's been thrown around for the Hornets. I mean, everyone's name should be thrown around the Hornets for trades with the trade deadline coming up in a couple weeks. And Simmons was saying that Terry Rozier to the Heat would make sense, along with James Bouknight. That's all he really mentioned, is that Rozier could be a good fit in Miami, and perhaps Bouknight would be just a part of that deal. Bouknight is not going to get traded in any one-for-one deal or anything like that. He's going to have to go in a blockbuster trade, or whatever you want to call a blockbuster trade that deals with a Hornets player. But he's got to be a part of a bigger package that just goes to a team. If it's Miami, again, wherever he goes, there's no guarantee in any kind of playing time. I don't know if they're going to send him to the G League. I don't know what they're going to do. But to get the structure of what Eric Spoelstra has to be, and yes, it's Miami, and Bouknight has had those off the court issues, but I think to be in a culture and a program and a franchise under Eric Spoelstra, that could be really, really good for James Bouknight. And he's playing like someone that teams could be looking at for. Now, most of his minutes this season are in garbage time, so you can argue that the defense isn't always there, but he just continues to knock down the three. He's 11 for 22 from three this season. He's 50% from behind the arc. Hopefully teams are taking notice of that. Again, most of the time, it's in the last couple minutes, it's a blowout. You know how that game flow goes. It may not be the hardest defense, and it's certainly not pressure shots. 11 for 22 is a pretty good sample size that the kid can knock down some shots. And what was funny was the last time he played, it was against the Pelicans this past Wednesday. And I kind of jokingly, but not really joking, Hawkins was going off, and I literally was just like, oh my God, Hawkins is hitting threes so that Bouknight can get in the game, meaning that the Pelicans lead can continue to grow and Bouknight can get in the action when the Hornets are down by 25 points or whatever it was with 5 minutes to go. And sure enough, Hawkins kept scoring. And sure enough, Bouknight got in the ball game, which was pretty cool. And in those 4 minutes, he hit 2 3-pointers and scored 6 points. I mean, most of the time he does that when he plays in those garbage time minutes. That's what he's been doing. So, but it was just kind of funny that actually kind of happened. Hawken, Book and I had a nice moment after the game when the clock was dribbling out. They had a nice hug with each other, so that was pretty cool. And just in general, this past Wednesday, Thursday, it's two great nights to be Husky fans, because the Hawkins and the Book Night stuff that happened on the way back from Gamble, my ride home back from Gamble, I was not driving, obviously, but Wednesday you had UConn take down Creighton, you had UConn women, they blew out Seton Hall. Hawkins had those 6 3-pointers with 21 points in those 24 minutes. Book Night hit the 2 threes. And then Thursday night, Tyrese Martin scored 29 points and hit a season-high 7 3-pointers in the G League, obviously. So between Wednesday and Thursday night, you had 15 3-pointers between Hawkins, Book Night, and Martin, 7, 6, and 2, all impressive. That was just something that I just kind of noticed. It was kind of cool just seeing our guys obviously succeed so well. And then this past Saturday night, Andre Drummond had his 8th double-double of the season, 15 points, 10 rebounds, and 4 steals as well in just 19 minutes off the bench. It's his first double-double this season since going back to the bench after he was a starter for a bit, obviously, when Vucevic was out. So in just 19 minutes, he had the double-double. And this is going to kind of wrap up our show, but not next week. There's going to be no show next week because I'll be on a mini vacation. But the following week, for the next show, it's going to be mostly about NBA trade deadline, and Drummond's going to be the sole focus, or is going to be one of the main focuses of that podcast, because he's the only one that really has kind of significant value that might be traded. The Bulls might keep him. He provides depth in the front court. So I'll just be saying what teams that maybe we want to root for him to go to. Because he certainly has the most value, certainly more than Book Night, just anywhere that wants to take him, I think he should be happy with. But Drummond will be a good case. He has been traded at the trade deadline before. A couple years back, he was traded from the Sixers to the Nets when the Nets were trying to win with Durant, Harden, and Kyrie. So we'll see what happens. But that's going to do it for this week's episode. Once again, if you are still listening, I really appreciate it. And please like, subscribe, get those notifications on Spotify. Really appreciate you listening all the way through. And please let me know how I'm doing. If you are listening all the way to the end here, you are definitely one of my loyal listeners. So please feel free to give me that feedback, as I would greatly appreciate it. So it'll be a couple weeks until you hear from me with my voice. I'll still be tweeting, obviously, but for now, have a great couple weeks, and go Huskies.